Corn makes new contract highs. Soybeans managed to hold on despite dire calls. The dollar is rallying, and so is crude oil. What does it all mean? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with University of Illinois Extension ag economist Daryl Good. Our panelists in studio today are Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group in West Bend, Indiana.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. What was the most important news of the week? Beef to South Korea, another extension of the Farm Bill, contract highs in the corn, or something else? We'll start with you, Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities.
Well, I think those were all important, but I think weather is the big thing right now everybody's worried about. We're never going to get it in and all that malarkey, and we will get it in. But so the forecast of how much rain and when and all that, I think that helped push us around besides all these other factors.
Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group.
Well, I certainly can't think that the South Korean reopening of their borders wasn't important to us from a beef export standpoint. You know, when you look at the cattle on feed report today, I think you've got to say that we're probably going to look at some higher prices. We only had 100% on feed compared to 101.3, 89% place compared to 92.4, and the marketings were actually higher than they thought they were going to be at 100% versus 97.9. So I think we'll see some increase in beef prices.
And Tom Mann?
Well, Secretary Bodman made a statement in reference to ethanol usage and higher food prices, and obviously everybody that's listening to international news and national news lately has heard about food prices, and he's saying that ethanol has had a direct relationship to higher food prices. So obviously he's looking to defer the program to some other product other than corn.
Let's come back to this cattle on feed report very quickly, since you happened to mention it up front, Jackie. Tell me about that. And then there was a milk production number that was out this week, too. So it looks like livestock are doing fairly well in the U.S. yet.
Well, the milk production number came in pretty much within the expectations at 2.4% increase. But I think the most important thing when you looked on that report, and this goes to whether milk prices will go higher or not, is that California only added 1,000 more cows this last month compared to 46,000 in January and February. And all cows only went up by 3,000. So we're still adding animals. They're still eating grain, just like with the beef side of things. And we're just not cutting them back as fast as people might think.
Tom, what do you make? You mentioned Bodman and his comments. Do you think he's right that ethanol really is having an impact on food prices, or is this some political ploy outside of the industry?
Well, we did a little research this morning, and some mention was made about the price of a box of cornflakes. And in reality, when you look at the price of a box of cornflakes, it costs 4.6 cents to put those flakes in that box, or that's what the price of the material is. Since we've rallied this corn market to where it is, it's now up to 8.7. So obviously it is not related to grain prices directly. It's more in the neighborhood of transportation issues, labor issues, and probably a lot of increase in advertising.
Let's take a look at those corn numbers. May contract in Chicago this week, a high of $6.09, a low at $5.79, settlement price at $5.99, up 15.25 from last week. And December futures, by the way, they set a new contract high this week. December settled at $6.22, up 18 and three quarters. How high is high in the corn market at this point, Jackie? You said $6 last time.
I knew you were
going to
ask me that. How high is high in the corn market? Are we talking old crop, new crop? What are you looking for?
You know, I think we better talk about new crop as opposed to old crop.
Well, I think that if we run into any kind of weather problems, we're going to see at least $7 on December corn.
I would agree with that, and not but $7.50 or even higher numbers with any problems. Part of it depends on how we get stuff planted also, but weather later on can make it really roar.
Tom Mann, how do we take advantage of those kinds of prices from the farmer's perspective?
Well, you're either going to have to sell puts or buy calls or sell the product. And, you know, right now, being a risk management firm, we're looking at, you know, we've got probably 50% of our crops sold as far as corn in an escalating manner, and we're going to continue to sell into it. And at some point, we'll probably turn things around and buy puts.
Jackie?
Well, I would have to agree 100%. And I think the big question that always has to be in the front of your mind is, what is basis going to actually do if we do hit $7, $7.50, $8? You know, and so I think the strategy of making some cash sales, re-owning it for right now if you so desire to do, and then looking to put puts in place.
And then, Pete, as you look at the rainfall that's kept producers out of the field, and you called it malarkey. I think you were just talking about malarkey that we're not in the field at this point, but maybe you were talking about other things too. Does it offer producers, or should it offer producers, an opportunity to move old crop cash corn, and should they be making sales?
Oh, anybody that's got old crop corn should be pushing towards finalizing stuff, and you can sell it out through July. And I would be doing that now. If you sold stuff too early, you can buy calls. We've had guys that sold stuff at $3.50, $3.84, $4.50 that bought July calls a month ago and have made 50, 80 cents on it. So there's ways that you can work the puts and the calls at your advantage.
Well, and there's no question. I think one of the things we constantly hear is about how bad the basis is. And, you know, that just isn't true when you look at the value of the bushel of a crop. And so I think if you're holding back and not making a basis or not making a sale because you think the basis is too bad, sit and figure out what percentage of that bushel is.
That's the key percentage. When we had basis at 20 cents on 220 corn, that was almost 10%. What's 10% of $6 corn? That's 60 cents.
Right.
Everybody's in agreement on this one? Tom, you too?
Right. I guess my biggest problem is right now is we have some grain companies out there that are unwilling to buy anything but basis levels. And that's presented a little bit of a problem, so it's kind of tossed the future side of the game into the farmer's lap. So he is going to foot the bill for the margin calls, et cetera, any interest, and it also presents a problem for 09 and 10 getting anything on the books there.
Yeah, this would be for new crop, of course, but not for old crop.
That's
you get
correct.
Out past, what, January
right.
or
yeah,
so?
Right, yeah, they're buying out 90 days right now.
I would agree with that, and we at Bates have got some lenders lined up, and I'm sure farmers could get lenders lined up where they can have to use 10 to 15% of the value of their crop to put puts on or futures on further out to protect these high prices that they have.
Jackie, businessmen and women, farmers are in a new era now. They're worth probably three times as much as they used to be at this point. Are you having to talk them through their value and what really they're worth and how they have to manage the risks that they now have and how it's different than it was 12, 18 months ago?
Well, definitely. And I mean, not just different than 12, 18 months ago. It's different than what Dad's situation was so many times on the current farm. I think what we need to look at is I don't see the fact that they're not buying far out as being a real negative to the farmer. I think in a lot of ways it gives him control and more control over his crop and probably more control over his basis. But it's definitely a way of a change in thinking, I guess, is probably the best way to state it.
Taking a look at these numbers from Chicago, wheat pit this week, May contract, a high of $9.45 and a quarter, a low at $8.62, a settlement price for the May wheat at $8.70, down 26 and a half from last week. July futures at $8.85 for the new crop, 25 and a half cents lower. We're back to what would be considered a normal corn wheat ratio now in Chicago.
Yeah, and we still have very tight supplies worldwide of old wheat. We don't have the new wheat coming on. wheat's one of those that we hit, 960 one day, 2 days ago maybe, and then we hit, $1.20 lower on Friday. So, I mean, it can really tear you up. Farmers need to have that protected with puts and or, say, K sales.
Well, I have to say, I think the price of futures on Chicago wheat has been kind of an aberration, because we've had hard wheat sales being made and purchases being made in Chicago versus Kansas City because of liquidity. If you can't get positions traded, then you've got a real problem, and Kansas City can be a problem at times. So I just don't think that Chicago's probably showing the correct level.
Correct level, you mean
it's too high? No, I think it's too high.
Still too high.
Well, if you look at the number of acres of soft wheat that we're going to have coming on this year, there's going to be a ton of soft wheat. And we have a lot of soft wheat. We're not running out of soft wheat. It's the hard red wheat that's the problem.
Jack, you think the price is right, wrong?
No, I think the price is fine, and the reason I think the price is fine is because when you're trying to feed people, I mean, if we look just here in the U.S., yeah, we have a lot of Chicago wheat, we have a lot of inventory. But when you look at the world demand, the fact that we've outstripped production the last 2 years for all wheat, you know, if you got to feed people, you're going to come and buy it. Your first choice is going to be hard red. After that, you really don't care. And so, I think it is a right price. And to tag on to what Tom said before about what's driving food prices higher, I thought that something that was said by one of the vice presidents from Standards & Poor's this morning in Bloomberg was good. He just said, we can't blame it on ethanol. We have to look at the lack of investment that we've made in refineries, mines, land, and it's the world wheat demand that's driving this.
Whether it's too high or not, I think if you're a producer, you still have to check these high prices and lock them in. I think that's the point we need to get across to these guys, is that, hey, don't let it go down to $7 this summer or $6.50. Get some sold, get some put protection on, because when we do harvest here with the number of acres we have, if we have not a catastrophe and yield-wise, we're going to have a lot lower prices here this summer.
I'm going to assume that one of you is thinking USDA estimates right and the other one's thinking that it's not right on global wheat supplies. Is that correct? One that you're, Tom, thinking that their estimate for a pretty good-sized global market.
I think they're.
And Jackie, you're on the other side, that you think the wheat crop's not there.
Well, I think that the estimates are there. The proof is still in the pudding.
Correct.
We don't have the crop.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. I'm just saying that as far as the estimates are concerned, that there's ample wheat supplies, and looks like they're, condition-wise right now, we're in pretty good shape.
We better get the wheat or the soybeans in too. May contract at $13.98 high this week, a low at $13.15. Settlement price at $13.61.5. They were up 29 cents. November beans at $12.81, up 18 and a half. There was a lot of dire calls or a lot of fear, I think, in the marketplace for a while that the beans were just going to die, but that didn't seem to happen this week, Tom, man.
I'll tell you what, beans are just a hard one to call, although I do think they're just channel trading at this point, looking for some direction. I think we're looking at weather, trying to make some kind of a determination whether we're going to add bean acres, subtract bean acres. If we get in the field within the next 10 days, I think we're going to subtract bean acres just because the ratio is kind of detracted from beans and has gone more towards corn.
Channel trading sideways for a while. What are your thoughts?
I think all we've really done is just rebounded back up to where we should have never really gone down from. When you looked at the fact that we had such heavy pressure because the banks demanded more collateral from the hedge funds, it forced them into a liquidation position. I think all we're doing right now is actually giving some credence to the fact that we can't afford to lose any yield, even at 74 million acres, or 0.8 million acres planted.
If you look at what we dropped about 460 plus a bushel. We've come back almost that technical number of 62% from it. I think you could go either way, 50 cents on any given day, and not be surprised by beans just because of what we're talking. Will we add acres? Well, we won't. And right now, I think Tom's right that at these corn prices, we're gonna not add bean acres.
Across the board, what do you think, old and new crop? Do you make sales anywhere in here, or do you just hold and protect?
Well, we're basically liquidating our old crop position at this point on just about everything. As far as new crop is concerned, we're kind of in a holding pattern on corn. We have sold a good portion of our soybeans at this point. We're probably 60% sold in the $13 to $14 area, and I guess as far as wheat is concerned, we're out of it.
When I look at all the crops, when you look at corn, beans, and wheat, I think on old crop, we have some really attractive prices. And if you've got any kind of cash flow issues, you definitely should be moving it. You can certainly re-own it. New crop, I still think buying puts.
I think we're basically sold out of old crop at these high prices, and we are 50 to 60 or more sold out on new crop and with puts on the rest. I just think there's more worry for the downside on beans right now than there is to the upside.
Here's some other numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange live cattle this week. April contract, a 90.75 top, bottom at 87.80. April settled at 89.55, up 85 for the week. Feeder cattle, April contract 101.50, up $2 even. And the May lean hog settled at 72.72 and a half, that is, up 295. Back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Extension Ag economist Darrell Good.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. It's taken more than half the month of April, but warm spring weather finally arrived in Illinois this week. After a cold start to the week, strong southerly winds kicked in on Wednesday and brought 70-degree temperatures to most of the state. Those that did not reach 70 on Wednesday, mostly in the eastern part of Illinois, did so on Thursday. Despite the warm-up this week, temperatures still averaged well below normal statewide, from about 9 below normal in the south to about 4 below normal in the north. After some snow flurries and light rain showers on Sunday, much of the week was dry. A slow-moving cold front reached northern Illinois on Thursday, but there was little more than sprinkles ahead of the front. Rain began to spread across the state on Friday as a low-pressure wave moved northeast along this front. April precipitation is already above to well above normal across much of Illinois, and more heavy rain is not really needed. Once the weekend weather system departs to the east, there will be only a brief lull before more showers and thundershowers are possible again late Monday. A series of disturbances moving through the Midwest will bring a chance for rain to most of the state just about every day next week. From the looks of things right now, a prolonged period of dry weather is not likely in the next 10 days. Temperatures next week should remain seasonable, averaging near to slightly above normal. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of WILL, a broadcasting service of the College of Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. In studio, our panelists today, Tom Manor, Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin. On the line with us today is University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good. Good afternoon to you, Darrell.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me, as you take a look at this marketplace, when we were going through the month of February and set the prices for crop insurance, and after that, your decision and that of the Farm Doc team at the U of I, the ag economist there, was that farmers really needed to plant as much corn as possible. Are you still of that mind?
Well, we just continue to monitor the signals there, Todd, in terms of looking at some kind of expectation of yield. We tend to think of trend yield, look at that regionally, and then look at what the current market is offering as far as price is concerned. And we know that that varies from time to time, and that those relationships change. But, you know, we never did really through the winter months get a very strong signal to plant a lot more soybeans versus corn. And since the 1st of March, the signal has been pretty steadily increasing, making corn look attractive, I think, from a profitability standpoint relative to soybeans in much of the Midwest. So I think the economic signals are very strong there right now. The question is whether weather will permit that kind of increase in corn acres that the market suggests we need.
Daryl Tomman, I've got a little different type of question. I've been kind of following the dollar and the removal of the uptick rule back in July of 07 versus crude oil. And I want to know what your thought pattern is as far as oil versus the dollar versus grain commodities.
Well, I haven't thought much about oil and the dollar. Certainly for oil and commodities, I think there is a very direct link now through the biofuels. And, the price of crude oil, and particularly then the price of gasoline, sets the tone for the ethanol market, which then is setting the tone for the corn market. So, I think there's a very direct fundamental link between energy prices and the commodity markets coming through corn now.
Well, and don't you know, that's I guess, Daryl, when I look at this, why it seems like we're so many people are in such a quandary about what's going to happen. And in your following the ethanol industry, and in talking to the people in the ethanol industry, what are you seeing as far as their profitability levels? Are you hearing negative things, on your end?
Absolutely not. I think everything I see publicly and talking privately, for most operating plants, margins are solidly in the black right now. And there's only been brief periods, mainly last fall, when that was not the case. But right now, everything is solidly in the black. I think for plants that are under construction, there is some concern about escalating costs of construction, but not so much concern right now for operating plants.
Daryl, Pete here. On average yields, people are so worried about we're going to get it planted, but everything I've always been taught was if you plant between the 25th of April and the May 5th, that's the optimum time. And we still have time to get in there, and we can plant it in 10 days or less now. Is that still as big a worry as we should be worried about or not?
Well, I think you're right. I think history tells us we have a pretty big window of time to plant the corn crop. And if you look historically, farmers have stayed with corn pretty late into the planting season. But I think what it does is it clearly raises the anxiety level a bit when stocks are so tight and demand so strong that we now become very dependent on summer weather. We know it's not so much how you start the season, but it's how you end the season that really impacts yield. But any kind of stress or any kind of pressure we've now put on summer weather, I think, really raises the anxiety level.
What do you see, Daryl? I know we talk about late planting as not being as big a concern, perhaps, but the concern that I see is, how wet things have been and how lazy the crop is as far as putting down good solid roots, to be able to offset any type of stress that comes along. What has your experience been as far as that goes?
Well, I think what we normally have believed is that, it's kind of June weather that determines the root set quite a bit. And if you start wet and stay wet, then it's hard for the roots to get down deep. And then if you stress the crop in July, the moisture level moves down beyond the main root mass, then we've got issues. We've always believed that if you can plant a little bit wet with good soil moisture, and as the moisture levels retreat in the soil profile, the roots can kind of follow that deeper. But it's kind of the starting wet and staying wet into June, I think, raises the biggest concerns.
Daryl, what's your opinion? I see the president has signed a one-week extension on the farm bill today, and I guess my opinion is we're probably going to be looking at the same farm bill for another year. Just wanted to know what your opinion was of that.
Well, everything is pointing that direction. The president said he would not sign that extension unless he was convinced that progress and agreement was imminent, so it would suggest that he believes that, but performance to date really doesn't give you much confidence that we're going to reach agreement over the next week. And if we don't, then I think it clearly raises a probability that we will extend what we've got.
Daryl, can you take a look at global allocation of acreage and crop production now on the books, wheat and rice I'm thinking of in particular, as it pertains to the calls about a food crisis around the planet at this time?
Well, I think what we'll learn is that we have made a fairly substantial increase in planting of wheat this year. Clearly, that's the intention here in the U.S. We'll see how big it is. Europe, for sure. Probably the Black Sea area is expanding acreage, and I would expect the Southern Hemisphere will do that as well, weather permitting. So I think what the wheat market is telling us is that there's a pretty good chance that that tightness is going to go away here, again, underscoring if we get good weather. I think on rice, to me, the big issue right now is probably hoarding that's going on around the world. You know, just looking at the numbers in the supply and demand balance sheet worldwide, you don't really see a shortage there like we've seen in wheat or soybeans coming up. But I think it's just that everybody wants to keep what they have right now is really driving that. And certainly these kind of high prices you would expect would stimulate some kind of supply response as well.
And then if you could take up one other issue for me, oftentimes we're asked whether this is more like the mid-90s or the early 70s, and whether it's different altogether from that. Is this just a different world than either of those periods, or can you compare and contrast them one to the other? And I guess I was thinking that maybe Green Revolution took place in the 1960s. We had GMOs in the 1990s. Japan came on as an economic power in the late 60s, early 70s, and China is doing that at this point.
Well, I think, again, just my opinion, I think the thing that makes this different is the breadth of the increase in demand that we're seeing. It's not commodity-specific. It's not regionally specific. We're just seeing broad-based increases in demand for agricultural commodities, whether it be for food as economies grow and diets change, and everybody points to China and India as that happening. But you've got to admit that the biofuels is adding to that demand as well. So I think just the breadth and the depth, really, of this a demand surge we're seeing makes it a bit different than what we've seen in the past.
Daryl, thank you very much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Daryl Good, Extension Ag Economist at the University of Illinois, joining us from his Mumford Hall office. Our panelists in the studio are Tom Mann. We'll get a final word from him, and Jackie Vakes, along with Pete Manhart. And we'll start with Pete Manhart on a final word for the day.
Highest prices ever on corn, hardest worry we've ever had on what to do. If you don't know what to do, talk to somebody like one of us to help you do a marketing plan and make it simpler for you instead of just a worry.
Jackie Vakes?
I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, when you look at prices that we have right now, we know we can make money at them. We have to do everything we can or figure out how to be able to protect them.
And Tom Mann?
Well, markets come and go, so don't fall asleep to switch and fail to get any of your crops sold, because that's leads to your profitability.
Our thanks to our panelists and to our guests. This has been Commodity Week for April the 18th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a good week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.